Welcome back to Dicey Situations, everybody. Let's kick off our two Chaos Crew. Go ahead, introduce yourselves.
Rich, playing Theo.
Mark, playing Glebnor.
Hart, playing Taluga.
All right, everybody. My boys, my gang, let's do a recap of this very crazy last episode we just had at the end of Arc 1. Last time on Dicey Situations. Our heroes finished their rest at the abandoned ranger shack and continued their hot pursuit of the escaped Dreadforge from the Belching Bog. Things grew more and more dire as they made their way home and discovered only death in the machine's wake. In the rubble of Brackenridge Post, they found the body of Drogno, the Orc Ranger, brutally murdered by the Dreadforge. Following the Dreadforge tracks back to Tidagol, they were disheartened to find Fenric the Firbolg trampled on the forest road. Something about his death felt different, though. Strange hoof prints marred the body, and the nature cleric's holy symbol appeared missing. As even the weather began to turn, the boys finally made their way back to Tidagol to find their home plunged into chaos. At the gates of the grove, they were met with the fresh aftermath of a battle between the Dreadforge and the Wardens. The machines had been stopped, not by the grove's protectors, but by the clerics of the Stormlord Krizik. Panicked citizens were being led to the center of the grove in a town square at Tidagol's heart. The gang ran into Yarno, believed the Stormcrawlers weren't done with this battle yet, and warned the boys to get quickly to the square before anything happened to the Kuotoa. There at Tidagol's heart, amidst the panicked fishfolk, Taluga found his parents, and saw to his horror his brother Propribilis up on stage with the Stormcrawlers. Led by a satyr augurus, the clerics of Krizik intended to kill the Kuotoa and destroy Tidagol for the crime of heresy. Interrupting the High Priest's speech, Taluga and his father attacked the Stormcrawlers, while Theo and Glebnor faced off against Fenric's killer, the Goliath Harbinger Urshan. While lightning from above tore through the grove, the boys were able to defeat the Augurs and his clerics and fend off Urshan long enough for the Kuotoa to escape. Taluga and Theo were able to take two Stormcrawlers prison, but unfortunately, Urshan took a hostage of his own, Propribilis. Glebnor led the Plupluplines into the caverns below Tidagol, and with some explosive help from Yarno and Bleagon, sealed the passage off from the rest of the Stormcrawlers. We join our Chaos Crew now under the storm-seared ruins of Tidagol as they attempt to escape into the Underdark with the surviving citizens and the Kuotoa. Boys, what would you like to do? You are now standing in front of the rubble of this passage you've just blown up. You can hear Stormcrawlers, on the other side, trying to break through the rubble. You're surrounded by the Kuotoa and all of your friends. What is the plan? What are you doing?
Daddy?
Yes, son?
What the fuck?
We gotta go. It sounds like they're trying to drill through.
Oh, boy. Okay, everybody keep it moving.
Quick Kuotoa roll call.
Yeah, you see Mean Gene kind of pushes up ahead. Everyone! Okay, we need to be quick and we need to be smart. Who's here? I got my wife. I got one, two. Where's Propribilis?
The big one took him.
Okay, we need to get to the Underdark. We have enough boats to hopefully get most of us out of here. And you can see also amongst the crowd of like panicked Kuotoa as they're all starting to like run toward the lower dock beneath the Tidagol. You can also see there's a couple more wardens left. They're panicked. They don't really know what to do. And you see
a little tiny druid. It's like, everybody, this is not going great. We've got to think of something quick. Where should we be going to? I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. I'm sorry. Try.
Gammy, is Belshi with us?
Belshi, where are you?
You see a little turtle kind of push his tail.
I'm here. Oh, I'm so slow. Don't worry. I made it.
What is this terrain like?
So you guys are in these caverns. You guys would know this is like the entrance to your home, essentially.
Me and Gene mentioned boats.
Yeah, so deeper beneath the Kuotoa district, there is what's called the Underdock. And it is a large dock full of these big keel ships that the Kuotoa usually use to traverse the Nocturne Lake beneath the Grove and Tidagol.
Okay. I think you know where I'm going with this.
You why don't you go ahead and tell me, Glebnor? How about that?
I'll turn into a canoe and Daddy and Bleebly can come with me.
You see little red...
Bleagong, you want to jump in with us?
You see Bleagong is kind of like... dusting all this soot and everything off of him. He's like,
I'm so sorry. I got your armor all dirty. I didn't mean to.
Bligong, you're okay? I pick him up.
And you see, kind of a little bit off to the side there, you can see Yarno's like,
that little brother of yours, oh man, he was, he really had the spirit up there. He's pulling levers like a maniac. You got yourself an artificer right there, I tell you that much.
Hey, you Yarno.
Think? Yeah.
You got any more explosives?
I used my last ones to blow that door. Hmm. We can make more. I'm gonna need some, more shards of metal and stuff, but we can figure it out. What do we do? Where are we going? I know that the Yukuoto have a lot of different places we could probably hide down here, right? They're going to be getting through very soon.
Yeah, we'll go deeper to the under docks.
The under dock. Very clever. Okay.
You see, he's like kind of talking to a couple more of his little kobold companions and is like,
help leading people down there. We'll get everyone out.
Everyone just want to make a perception check for me.
11?
20. 20. Not net 20.
Okay. Dirty 20, I'll take it. You can hear, like, loud rumbling coming from the cave outside. And I'll say with a 20, you know that they're casting shatter spells at the entrance, trying to break through all the rubble. You also, I'd say, would notice that... So you're holding one of your prisoners. You have a, like, unconscious dragonborn, blue scales, laying on the ground. His, like, tabard to Krizik is all ripped up and bloodied. And Theo, you have this, like, young human cleric, one of these storm callers. He's still conscious, but you have a gun to his head, and you're, like, leading him through the caverns.
Can I tie his hands behind his back?
Yeah, go for it. Give me, like, a sleight of hand check.
Anybody in this crew have Tiny Hut?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Try to reinforce 13. That door.
13 on sleight of hand.
Here, let me just roll. I don't think he's going to resist you very hard. And these guys aren't super dexterous.
He's got a gun to his head.
That's why he's not resisting super hard. You see, he does. He kind of pulls away from you and he's like, where are you taking us? There's no need. Listen, leave me here. I'll tell them not to keep following you. I promise. I swear it.
Yeah, no.
Sure. And then you see from behind you, there's this like a little Kuotoa. He kind of looks like an eel. He comes up with a mace and bonks him on the back of the head. And he's like,
don't worry, I'll take care of this for you.
He grabs him and a couple of Kuotoa pick up the unconscious cleric and start dragging him through the crowd down deeper to the docks.
Do I feel them start to tug it?
I will actually say, you can give me a perception check if you would.
12.
12, it's kind of hard to miss. You can see amongst the crowd, there is a big red dragonborn smith who is pushing toward the crowd, going toward that blue dragonborn, looking like, with like murder in his eyes. He's just like, traitor! Traitor! Give it to him! I'll kill him right now! And you see, he pulls up, but he has a hammer in his hand, and he's going to like bash this dude's head in. He looks frantic, and he looks like bloodied. He clearly at one point was fighting these guys as well. I don't know if we didn't name him in that episode, but I've combined the name John Henry into Jenry. This is Jenry the Red Dragonborn Smith.
Fair and equitable
a
traitor.
Fair and equitable traitor who has been pushed to his limits.
How close am I to Jenry?
You're within, like, you're next to Saluga, I imagine. So, okay. Yeah, you're within 5 feet as he comes closer to you.
I'm going to big flat in front.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Jenry! We need this guy alive. He knows where they took Uncle Pee-Pee.
I can't believe it. Those filthy blue dragonborn betraying everyone like this.
We're going to kill them all. Just let us get our information first.
And I want to say, Theo, you speak Draconic, right?
Yep.
You see as this guy settles down and walks away, he throws a curse. He kind of curses this guy's name as he's walking away. Kind of in a huff, and there's a couple more of these red dragonborn smiths kind of pull him away from Glebnor. But you can hear he calls him a word in Draconic. It's very guttural, and you know the meaning is lapdog. He kind of walks off. Are you guys going to take this dragonborn guy with you?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. He's my trophy.
Yeah. Okay. So you sling this guy over your shoulder, and you guys all start like hoofing it down through the caves. Everyone give me just a quick survival check, just because you guys grew up here, but these are like slick, wet caverns going deep.
A 7?
Okay.
So 22.
Not 1.
Okay. Theo, a lot of these Kuotoa are still looking to you with a bit of reverence and hope. So they have been kind of following you. As you kind of move through the crowd, they part for you. And there are some, like, you hear the name Bleebly being whispered amongst the Kuotoa. These are your followers, and they're helping you get to the docks as quickly as possible. You two, though, I think as you're running through the caverns, there's a moment where you stop and realize, Maybe we get our room real quick before we leave. You guys are kind of close to it. I'll say with a nat one, you're very compelled to hit your room real quick.
Daddy, hit our room real quick.
Smash and grab, son.
Our favorite.
So as Theo, as you're leading them all away, what are you two trying to get out of this room? What is, I'll say you guys take a minute to peel off from the crowd. Me and Gene's like, where are you going? So you guys run off.
I literally only have the grip. Oh, everything else is in me.
Trying to think what I would have.
Should we get the armor stand for Bleagon? He's not going to want to wear that all the time.
True, let's get the armor stand for Bleagon.
We'll get the armor stand.
Okay. You guys frantically run back to your room, kind of, you can see now, like, the caverns are, like, rumbling as the Krizik priests are just unloading these shatter spells, trying to clear all the rubble. And, yeah, I say, go ahead, just let's call it, like, a sleight of hand check to grab this shit quickly.
16?
Okay, yeah.
Nat 20.
Okay. Oh, it appears that our iPad has volume on it. Okay. With a nat 20, you run over, grab the armor stand, huck it in the bag of holding, and then you look over and you're like, I can fit that crib. And you and Glefnor run over, grab this big coral crib, you hold the mouth of the bag of holding as wide as it'll go, and just start shoving it inside it.
Wait, one more.
Sure.
Can I find me mama means taqueria?
The other end of the two-way bag of holding?
Okay.
Nat 20.
It was a nat 20.
I did tack it on at the end. You want me to make another roll?
No, the taqueria bit's solid. I can't fight the taqueria bit. Pulling tacos out of the bag of holding is funny. The nat 20. You slam the crib in, you see it tumble into the bag of holding. Like, mommy's taqueria's right around the corner. You guys run out of the room, sprint over there.
I'm gonna put it in me.
The taco stand?
Yeah.
Just put it in the bag of...
It'll blow up if we put it in the bag of holding. It's a bag of holding.
Are we smart enough to know? Now the real dilemma.
Ooh, okay.
All right, well, for the comedy of it.
Let's do, you want to do like a luck check, or you want to throw some intelligence?
Would I remember that
luck check?
Yeah.
Me, my mommy would have said something about putting bags in bags.
History check from Toluga. If you get above a 10, I'll let you give him advantage on the luck check. How about that?
I'm going to need it, please.
I got 11.
Okay.
An 11!
Oh my god!
It was a 3 originally. So...
At the underdock, you can see all of the Kuato are boarding these like kind of small, like long rafts. Each of these big rafts kind of fits like maybe like 4 to 6 people. And they all have these long sticks that they use to push themselves through the water. The Nocturne Lake is a long, like vast black lake beneath the ground. And there's no wind down here. So there's a very small current. So you need to be using these big sticks to push the boats through the water. But Theo, as you're trying to organize everybody with Mamine, there's kind of chaos everywhere. You can see that Yarno has kind of gotten with the other Dragonborn and his kobolds, and they're jumping on a boat. And you look up, and you can see that Glebnor and Toluga are running back from the caverns, and you can see an entire, like, little taco stand, like a street vendor style one, just floating inside Glebnor, occasionally bumping out of his body as you guys zoom down the path.
It's an errant taco flying out.
Yeah, guys, exactly. Guys, was that really necessary?
You don't like tacos?
Out of here. I do, but we gotta get the hell out of here.
Listen, food keeps the morale high.
We're going to need the morale to get better because right now it's pretty crappy.
Yeah, so that's why we needed the taqueria.
You see Mommy's like, how did you even fit it? That's amazing, Glebnor. Oh, look at him. BG, look at him. Glebnor. He's a blue plane.
Glebnor is beaming with joy.
And I will also say, as you guys get down there, give me one more perception check as the Kuatoa and some of these other, the few citizens of Tidagal that got out with you are all jumping on these boats.
Dirty 20.
19.
It's a 6.
Okay. You're just like hand like over your face. Just, I can't believe they went back for the taco stand. But you two see that getting on one of the last boats, you see a little frog man wearing just a towel. And he's just like, this is fucking bullshit. I was in the middle of a soak.
Big G!
Big G, hey!
Big G!
How you boys doing?
And then, so would you guys like to get on your boat? Or were you guys going full canoe mode?
You know what we're doing. Okay. You know what we're doing.
What about the taqueria?
I'll go big raft. So we can fit it.
Okay, and I'll be the daddy engine again.
Yeah, daddy engine. Bleegong, you want to join with us?
That's. Am I being invited to something for the first time ever?
Yeah,
yes,
Bleegong. Get in here. Get
okay,
in here.
Great.
You were pretty badass on that stove thing.
I have never felt more alive than roasting those clerics.
You see, his eyes are
good. Harness
so
that, Bleegong. Harness that,
Daddy. Daddy, you might need to reel him in a little.
He's in his teenage. He's rebellious. Let him have it.
The smell of seared blue dragonborn
okay.
flesh.
Okay, all right. Maybe.
Daddy?
We'll worry once we get somewhere else.
Okay. Big Raft.
Okay. Big Raft is essentially Big Flat, so I can't fight you on this one.
Nope.
You're a Big Flat master at this point. So I'm assuming you go Big Flat and the taqueria pops up and is just on the raft?
It's on top. And I would like to mention I am ribbed for grip.
Okay, I thought you were going to say for pleasure.
I know, you you fucking...
You degenerate?
You freak!
All right, I don't want them being attacked immediately into R2. Everyone settle down. All right.
Well, if I was just a big flat surface, the second we hit a wave, everybody's going off the sides.
That's true. You don't want to be too slick.
Yeah. Ribbed.
Ribbed. You see, Mean Gene's like, everyone, we need to keep going. Toluga. Lead the way! And he lets you guys go out in front of this tiny fleet of Kuotoa ships.
We get the daddy engine, we're gonna be the fastest.
And you guys start making your way from the dock into the Nocturnal Lake. And give me one more perception check, if you would.
Question, is
yes.
it dark?
It is incredibly dark. Unfortunately, Theo, you'll be rolling at disadvantage.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
I got dark vision and 19.
Okay.
I got a nat 20.
Nat 20. 19 and a 20.
And a 9.
Theo, you are like looking forward into the dark lake, just like, I have no idea where the fuck we're going.
Daddy has flashlight eyes.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, I have to activate them, but I can't.
Headlights.
Yeah, you don't even need to like really activate that so much. I'll say that now that you're like in the Underdark, something you would all notice is a lot of the Kuotoa have almost like a bioluminescence to them.
Ooh.
And Toluga, you are this like shiny... you're like kind of glowing a little bit, giving off a little bit of light. And you can see if you look back, Mean Gene has like a dangling little thing because he's one of those
anglerfish.
He's like lighting up his boat with it. And some of the more bioluminescent fish are starting to light up as you guys move into the Nocturne Lake. With a nat 20, though, you hear the rubble finally cave in up the cavern, and you just make out a group of these Stormcrawler clerics rushing to the dock just too late as you guys sail away. Mark is miming a DX chop at me, so unfortunately, probably can't happen in your big flat form, but
no, that's why I didn't say anything.
The spirit's there, I get it.
Question?
Yes.
How far are they from where we are?
I would say at this point, like about 120 feet.
Hold on.
Yes!
I have a longbow. Can I try and just shoot one of them real quick?
Yeah, fucking go for it.
It's a 21 to hit.
That'll hit. Roll that damage.
It's only 4 damage, but I just say, eat this bitch! And
yeah, you like pull out of your pack this longbow that you've like, you never use. It's just on your rucksack, kind of. And you're so far away, you're like, I'm gonna need it. You line up a shot, and you can see one of these... Stormcrawler clerics is like running down with a flag. He's holding this flag and it's like waving. It has the symbol of the Stormcrawlers on it, this like ram head and these lightning bolts. And as he runs up to the dock, he's like, heretics, heathens, we will out. He just gets shot in the shoulder with an arrow. We will find you. We will find you.
You've been marked by Bleebly.
Ooh, give me a intimidation check with advantage.
Can I? As he does this check, can I give him guidance?
You guys are on the same boat? Sure. Well, D4 on that. Yeah, you put your arm on his shoulder as he's yelling back.
Believe, Bleebly.
It's a 16 with guidance.
Awesome. And you can see all of the Kuotoa on these boats. They're all like, Bleebly! 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 And it's like echoing through the cavern as these like grumpy storm callers just watch you all sail away from them. Unbelievable. Okay, you guys have been through one hell of a fucking day. We will say it's you guys have definitely earned a long rest. as you guys gently sail through these black caverns, there's a lot of safety in numbers here. You guys have a lot of boats with you. Because of your actions, I will say the Kuotoa all survived. So you have, I would say, around 100 to 150 Kuotoa are in this giant caravan of boats. What do you got there?
You know what I want to know.
You want it? Okay.
Are the rest of them now converted?
Let's get a group religion check. I mean, it's not, I don't even know how high of a thing. They've really witnessed many a miracle today.
I only rolled an 8, but I'm a boat.
You got a 5?
Nat 20.
That's
yes!
Nat 20. It's like, it's how could you not believe? The Kuwatoa, even Ma Mean and Big Gene, who were probably a little skeptical of this plan, they can't deny that something here has been miraculous. And Bleebly, you and your friends are the saviors of the Tidagol Kuwatoa. You have converted everyone on these boats.
How many people total? I want to know the number.
Okay, so
we had 91 previously of the Kuwatoa.
Okay.
How many total Kuwatoa and Dragonborn and Wardens are there?
Okay, so how about this? We'll say roll a D100, and that's for more Kuwatoa. And that'll be our total population for the Kuwatoa.
49.
Okay, so 49 plus whatever, you're 90, whatever. So you're up there, about 150. So roughly,
at 49, right? To the 215.
49 to 2, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you also have the followers from the...
We get the frog people from the swamp.
Okay. Big T.
Can everyone Big feel T. at all my increasing anxiety as these follower counts
go
up? Yeah,
don't forget, we converted the tree.
So it's
264.
264.
Okay, and then go ahead and we'll roll 2d12, and we'll have Toluga roll that. That is going to be...
Which one's the d12?
It's this guy right here. 2d12, that'll be how many citizens of Tidagol fell, kind of were believing in Bleebly.
10?
10, okay, yeah.
274!
You can see that on some of these boats, there's a couple of like humans, some hill dwarves, and they're all just like wide-eyed watching this like... kind of like this scraggly kid that they know their life is now just radiating this energy. And I mean, they're, as much as you guys have been like kind of trying to goof your way around it, Kuwatoa magic is real. And what is really happening is they are giving divinity to your friend Theo. And I'll say, yeah, as you guys are sailing through the night.
How much further have we... You know what? Never mind.
What? What are you planning over there?
I just want to see if I could like fart out a license plate super hard at the Stormcallers.
Okay. I need a DC 20 athletics check.
You should rage while you do.
It just goes right into the water with an 8.
Hey, there's going to be a fish down there that's going
to... That is true. Yeah, we'll say you guys are now sailing into the night. You don't really have to worry as much about all your checks to maintain, you know...
Heading.
Yeah, and you have a full crew here. And the Kuwatoa, they know these waterways. They travel them pretty frequently, so it's slower because there's so many ships. But, you know, it's safer. So you guys are able to rest. And you can just see Reggie is, like, sitting kind of quietly on the end of the raft right now. And he just looks so sad as you guys are sailing through the night.
I can't believe it happened. All those people, I feel terrible.
Can I go over, sit next to Reggie, and kind of put my hand on his shoulder and be like, dude, bro, we'll figure it out. It'll be okay. That was a very bad thing that happened because, well, we kind of lost our home. But that wasn't your fault. That was some crazy religious freaks.
If the Dreadforge hadn't come, and then maybe the priests wouldn't have come. I feel terrible.
I think they were coming no matter what.
I'm going to float my eyes and mouth up next to Reggie.
Yep.
Reggie, it's because of you Bleebly survived.
What do you mean?
Our God.
Without that bit of aid that you gave me earlier, when that big Goliath freak hit me in the chest, I probably would have died.
Oh, well, at least I can feel good about that.
We owe you a debt of gratitude.
I just... something isn't right. This whole world is wrong. I promise, anything I can do to make amends for what happened with those Dreadforge, I will do it.
Teach me Dwarvish.
I can teach you Dwarvish.
Come back here. I gotta be the engine real quick.
Okay, perfect. Excuse me.
He gets up and kind of like walks over and plops down next to you, Toluga.
Okay, we're going to do some Dwarvish lessons. Do you have that book still?
Yes.
The Dwarven History book, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here. Let me see. I will read it to you, and we'll go over... We'll learn it that way. It'll be easier. My conversational Dwarvish is not as good, but I can read it, no problem.
And yeah, so...
This is going to be bad.
Yeah, you can see He's like, let's start the chapter one. And okay. We'll say, because this, it's not like taking you a lot of work to kind of push along with the rest of the raft. You guys are taking your long rest now because you're on kind of like light duty. You kind of take shifts sleeping if you'd like. At certain points, Clebmer, you could like knock out and they could just kind of keep pushing you around. But yeah, Tallulah, you kind of stay up with our little friend Reggie here. You can see he's, again, still in his gnomish disguise, so he looks like a little lawn gnome.
Okay. The creation of the dwarves. This is going to be a good one, I can tell.
And you see he's kind of pointing out words as he goes, and you have like a little notebook you're kind of writing like translations in.
So it appears in the great beginning of Aeona, there were the primordials, ancient beings of elemental magic, and they decided to create their own servants that would, in their likeness, create things and make wonders. There were the three primordials, fire, earth, and air, each made their own kind of dwarf. Pretty cool, right? Kind of like each one of the little specific element they infused.
That's pretty cool.
There were the mountain dwarves, or as they were once called, the Skykissed. They protected the ancient high mountain tops for all of the air elementals. Then down in the valley, to protect the base of the mountains, the earth elementals created the hill dwarves. They protected the hills and all the burrows. And then deep in the center of the ground, the fire elementals created the fire belly dwarves, or as we know them, gray dwarves. I need to backtrack. And he
palms back a little bit. The hill dwarves had the cool name. I would have felt bad if I skipped it. They were called the Stone Grippers.
So yes, the Stone Grippers, the Sky Kissed, and the Fire Belly Dwarves, were an ancient people, and they are what descended into the dwarves we know now. So anytime you see a little guy, you know at one point he was one of these guys. That's a good chapter.
That's a solid chapter. Yeah, good pick.
Solid, good stuff. We're starting from the beginning. So, any particular dwarvish words you're thinking of needing to know?
I would like to try and tell him to believe in Bleebly.
Okay, believe in is fine. Bleebly, I don't think I have it in my book here. He's scrolling through a glossary. Bleh, bleh, that is probably the closest. Really get it down from the bottom of the base of your voice, your vocals.
Oh, well, let me try. Bleh!
Oh, that's good. Give me one more.
Bleh!
Oh, that's this stuff. Now you sound like a Skykissed.
He's just kind of flipping through the pages.
Do you mean it?
Oh, yes. I think we do a couple more of these little sessions. You'll be speaking Dwarvish in no time.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, and we'll see how you guys pass through the night now. Go ahead and take your long rest.
One quick thing. While we're going through the night, when I'm sitting at the front of the boat while he's having his little lesson, I want to talk to Glebnor. And just kind of say, look, thanks for coming back there with the crazy Goliath guy. But you also have to watch out for yourself, because if anything happens to you, think of what that's going to do to Tallulah. I'll be smarter about things going forward, because I should have got out of that situation a lot quicker.
You think?
But I was a little mad. So just remember that. Make sure you take care of yourself as well.
I mean, I can't defy my god, so I guess I'm going to have to. Is this a commandment?
No, it's just words of advice from a friend to a friend.
Deity to a friend? Fine, but you need to listen when I say go, when there's a murder giant.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Thank God for Yarno.
I know. Yeah.
Did we see his buddy?
I don't think we did.
His friend there?
Dozer?
Yeah, the guy that's always working with him?
No. We'll have to talk to him when we land and see what happened there.
Hit the shore?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. You guys take your long rest. At certain points of the night, the boat just kind of like drifts into other boats. It's the other Kuotoa just to push it away with their oars.
Clever, hold on, careful.
You like turning like a like different shaped rafts throughout the night.
Get that little fucking dragon head like a Viking ship.
Yeah, perfect. It's just Theo's head.
Oh, mermaid style?
Yeah. And in the morning, you are all awoken as you see the Kuatoa are starting to also all wake up as they've all kind of taken shifts through the night, moving the boats deeper into Nocturne Lake. And you see Mean Gene kind of comes over. He has a couple of his astral monks with him. And he's like, oh, excuse me, Glebnor. He kind of steps onto the raft.
Hey, Pops.
All right, boys. Just wanted to come over and say it officially. You made a believer out of me. I'm very proud of you.
Do you mean it?
I mean it. I mean, it's terrible what happened back there at Tidago, but if it wasn't for you boys, we never would have got out. And if that's not godly behavior, I don't know what is.
And he gives you a big slap on the shoulder, Theo.
Well, Blee, we got a lot of work to do.
That we do.
But we
got someone great leading us.
Who?
Daddy!
Oh. You! Yes, me!
Chaluga, it's true. If you are going to be the religious leader of this new faith, there's responsibilities to come with it.
Is there a title that comes with it?
And one day, I could have one of my sons become a plope. I would be so proud. Wear that mighty plope hat. Wield the authority that a plope does. It brings a tear to my eye.
Steps away, wipes a big salty tear from his anglerfish eye.
Your mother's making breakfast for the rest of the Kuatoa out there. Listen, we're in a real look of trouble. Those storm callers, that's what they did to Tidago. We never bothered anyone. We need to find out what the hell's going on. It makes no sense to make an attack like that. No sense to demand that they kill all the Kuatoa.
They'll die by our hand, Pop.
I like your spirit, Glebnor. Maybe you are a blue plane.
Acceptance.
So, all right. I've been talking to Yarno. He believes that we need to make our way deep and try to find allies. We can't just keep moving our way through the locks and rivers of this place. We need to find some place to settle down. And I do know one place that I'm a little hesitant to bring us all, but I think would probably be the safest route. Chaluga, I don't know if I ever really told you this, but I'm not from Tidago originally.
What?
And you see Bleagon's like, what the heck? He's like, he just woke up. He's rubbing kind of like gunk out of his eye. He's like,
you just always seem like a Tidagolian at heart, Pop.
He's like,
like many Kuatoa, I come from the Underdark, and my hometown is pretty deep into the Dark Lake, and it's near a large dwarven city called the Ebenden. But we could bring everyone to my old hometown. It's a Kuatoa village. We'll be welcome there. My brother Gulp is the leader of said town.
Uncle Gulp?
Uncle Gulp. I've never brought him up because he's a hard person to get along with sometimes, and he didn't exactly respect my decision to leave. If it was up to him, I would have stayed in Sloopledrip forever, but
the hell's a Sloopledrip?
Oh, Sloopledrip. It's our ancestral home. It's the Kuatoa village at the base of the Great Dwarven City.
Sounds wet.
Oh, it's wet.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's very slick.
Yo, Gammy! You hearing this?
What's going on over there?
Wet!
You can see Gammy in her little boat. You can see that her boat is just like a giant dirty turtle that's just swimming through the water. There's bits of mud and trash on him and little Belshies on the back of it and kind of rowing really hard trying to push the boat forward as they kind of glide up.
What's that? What are you saying?
We're going to wet.
Oh, that'd be delightful. These caves are the most moist I've been in so long. I almost got a bit of
pep in my step. Because your voice is kind of slowly uncrinkling as you guys have been in this damp cavern for the whole night.
Well, if we're going to need to find someone to help us. We got a whole community here displaced. It's terrible. We should talk to our dwarven wardens. See if they can maybe know anyone inside the city.
Daddy, you can practice your language.
I could, but I also don't want to offend anyone yet. Reggie, how good's my dwarvish?
Oh, it's so good!
I'll make an inside check. I'll roll for Reggie's deception.
16.
Reggie got a 23.
All right, I believe I'm amazing.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't even know that you're not the native speaker. It's crazy.
All right, we should convene with the other wardens, Yarno, and you boys as well. Let's get together and figure out our next steps. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of questions for these Stormcallers.
Same. I also want to convert them.
And I will say, I kind of skipped over it, but we'll say that a tied up blue dragonborn wakes up next to you guys on the raft.
He's on...
On you.
Glebnor?
Yeah, yeah.
I just make uncomfortable bumps under him.
It's like those really fucked up things they put on benches for homeless people.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, yeah, he's...
Can't even get a position.
He starts, like, mumbling also. He's only speaking Draconic, so only you're actually kind of understanding him, Theo.
Heretics. Heretics will get us all killed. Let me go. Let me communicate with them. I can broach a deal. You, human, give up the Kuotoa. We'll let you be safe. We'll forgive your heresy if you let me and my friend go.
Basically, I'll say everything that he's saying to Tuluga. I'll be like, Tuluga, this freak is saying, and I'll just... Everything that he says.
I want to slap him across the face. Speak English! Sorry, common. Common. Or Minotaur. I don't really get to use that one often.
You fools don't know what you've done.
I slap him again.
I can take it.
You see, like a crackle of lightning in his mouth as you kind of hit him.
Can I muzzle him?
Probably a good idea, actually. What are you muzzling him with?
Tacos.
I want to open the bag of holding and find the most disgusting thing in there.
Ooh, give me an investigation check.
It's a 7.
You find like a jar of deviled eggs at the bottom of the bag of holding. So, it's like kind of broken, so it's been leaking out. It's disgusting.
So I grab the jar, I put open end into his mouth, so it's like a gag in his mouth.
He's just struggling with all these deviled eggs and juice pouring out of his mouth.
So then I also want to pull out a fish taco. And I want to pull the jar out and say, now are you going to behave?
No!
I put the jar back in. I pull the jar out. You gonna behave?
No!
I put it back in. I shake a couple eggs down his throat. I pull the jar. Now are you gonna behave?
What do you want? Besides getting us all killed.
Well, where'd they take my brother?
Make an insight check.
I'm gonna sharpen my bumps.
It's right in my hip.
13.
This guy seems like he's going to be a real tough nut to crack. You know that I'll say you guys have lived amongst Dragonborn and Tidago for a while. You know they're a bit stubborn.
I take the jar. I have an idea. I can break you. Watch this. Son, you know that song that I used to sing all the time that Dad always hated? I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves.
What?
Everybody's nerves.
What?
Everybody's nerves.
Stop that.
I know a song.
Stop it. Just
that
sing.
Gets on everybody's nerves.
What are you going to sing?
And it goes something like this.
Okay.
I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves.
Stop
everybody's
it. Nerves. You Kuotoa, filthy, foul creatures.
And I put the jar in his mouth and I slap him. Son, let's sing that on loop for a little bit.
I know a song that gets
on everybody's nerves. Everybody's nerves. Everybody's nerves.
See, Mean Gene is just like... Goes over to you, Theo, and he's like, I'm not gonna lie, they're good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This will break him eventually.
Blee Gong's like, he did this to me once a couple years ago. I almost went mad. It was, yeah, we were kind of in the middle of a feud, but having it on someone else is not that bad. It's kind of great.
Yeah, seeing it happen to somebody else is definitely gonna feel better than having it happen to you.
Let's roll a d4 real quick. I don't know how many hours you do this.
Four. 4 hours later.
I'll tell you whatever you want! I can't do it anymore! Please!
Okay. You should just... If they took your fish brother, They're probably bringing them back to the Holy City. They've brought them north to Windmere. It's the capital of the Krizzic clerics. Here's where our sept is.
Okay.
You don't understand what you've done. If Krizzic loses his followers, if we do not bend, his power will wane and they will return. Look what happened to your wardens at that gate.
But look what happened to our god. And
I'm going to walk over and kind of crouch down, and I'm going to tap him in the, like, between the eyes with the barrel of the gun. Hey.
Yeah.
That big Goliath. What's his name?
That is Harbinger Urshan. He is...
He's gonna die.
Maybe the second or third highest in our order. He will not die to you, boy.
I gripped him up.
Maybe so. But he maybe never fought something like you before. It won't happen again.
I melted your religious speaker right in front of your eyes with the power of Bleebly.
That could have been anything.
Bleebly power.
You may have defeated Ogarist for whom, but if you think you three fools will defeat Urshan... And Lord Krizzic.
His name was Vahoom?
Yeah, it's really lame.
Yeah.
Vahoom is a fine name for a satyr. Have
Come
a nice
on.
Ring to it.
He missed everything.
He brought down your city with his storm, did he not?
Was it just him, though?
He needed a whole team of people.
It wasn't just
Kinda
him.
Lame.
A whole gaggle.
Stop gaslighting me. This is terrible torture.
There was a whole gaggle of you, but it took three believers of Bleebly to ruin that.
Mm-hmm. And I gripped
so
up
really,
your big boy.
Who's God stronger?
It was maybe because we were amongst you faithless.
Faithless?
Faithless.
Do you not hear the chants of Bleebly?
And you do see that some of these boats have pulled up for the show. And there's a couple of Kuatoa that are like, just like heckling this guy, like, eat another egg! Just, there's these like little flounder brothers who are just like hooking like fish heads at him, just trying to.
Oh, you're all terrible! Listen, it doesn't matter what you do to me. They will find you and they will kill your entire heretical race.
Well, first things first, you guys stole my brother. So, do you have a brother?
Yes.
Where is he?
His name is Goffin. He's with the other Azure Scales in the capital.
Okay, I gotta kidnap him.
What?
Well, you guys stole my brother. I gotta steal yours.
That's not how hostages work. It's
That's
not
how Kuatoa law functions.
You see Mean Gene just nods his head. The boy knows his books.
So, we're gonna have to take him until I get mine back.
You'll never find my brother, and you'll never find Urshan, and you'll never find your pathetic brother as well.
Well...
I mean, you did just give us his name, so like...
And location.
So it's not going to be that hard.
Can you guys actually, at this moment, give me an Arcana check?
16?
18.
12.
You guys notice that as he's been kind of fighting with you a little bit, there's a moment where it seems like he loses focus of the conversation. His eyes then flicker white, and his mouth opens.
Egg jar.
I immediately egg jar.
Before you get your egg jar ready, you hear a voice come out of his that is not his own.
Oh, message.
You terrible, terrible heretics. Return now for your judgment. If you return now, we promise we won't totally kill you. Just the fish ones. Return us our...
And the sending spell cuts off.
Do his eyes roll back?
His eyes roll back to normal.
Is that two-way? Do I speak into your mouth and then it goes to them? Or do you just relay what we say?
I unfortunately do not yet possess the magical acumen.
So you have no clue.
Spell.
So you're useless. It sounds to me like you're just fodder and they're trying to get rid of you.
They wouldn't do that.
You know who wouldn't do that? A religion that's encompassing of all people.
A religion of Bleebly.
My mouth is still full of egg juice and you're trying to convert
Well,
me.
I have this fish taco and you're just being mean. If you be okay and chill, you'll just get the taco.
I'm being mean. I took 4 hours of your horrible song.
That was on you, dog.
Yeah, that one was on you.
I will not be...
I want to waft the taco in front of his snout.
I'm gonna loosen the sharpness on my bumps.
Okay. This is a good goo, bad fish situation, or what are you doing to
no,
me?
No, we're just, the nicer you are, the nicer we'll be.
You get what you give, buddy.
Kuator law.
Fish law.
You can see this guy is, he kind of like bumps his like, these dragonborn, they kind of have these like kind of spiky frilled horns at the top of their head. Kind of bumps his, like headbutts the taco out of the way.
I will never betray my Lord Krizik.
I break one of his horns.
Oh my god!
I'm going to absorb the taco that fell just to not waste it.
As this is going on, you see that another one of these small rafts is kind of pulled up. And you see Gamey Green is with some of these other warden elders, and they have the human boy, and they carry him on. And as the dragonborn is like, never will I say a single word to you pathetic heathens. The human's like, I'll tell you anything you want. Anything you want.
Really?
I'll tell you just real quick. Whatever you need to know, I will let you know. I just joined the Church of Krizik. This was supposed to be a missionary effort to hopefully, and then everything went so bad so quick. I had no idea what was going to happen here.
Spikes intensify.
I look over at the human and I go, what do you think of the name Vahoom?
I always thought Vahoom was a bit pretentious. And if I'm being totally honest, me and some of the other clerics used to call him Vahu behind his back. So I'm so willing to tell you guys anything you need to know. I promise. I promise.
See, this guy gets a taco. I reach and I try to find a real nice taco for him.
Oh, that looks delicious. I'll say, no check required. Actually, I'll say, Mommy hands you a taco she just made. Give me a like perception check if you guys would, or an insight check, either one.
15?
23. Nice. You guys are, I think you two, what you're kind of really latching onto is that like, you're finally getting a little bit of respect from everyone. Mean Gene is letting you guys handle the interrogation. And the wardens who are, there's so few of them compared to Kuatoa, they're kind of letting the Kuatoa take the lead on this because they need the boats and they need to get somewhere safe. But with your very high one, you look through the crowd and you can see Yarno with a couple of kobolds and the dragonborn. And he says to you in Draconic,
Dragonborn want the Azure Scale. You guys can have the human, question as much as you want. They lost a few of the smiths in that attack and they want blood. You know how we work. A pound of flesh for a pound of flesh.
I'll say back in Draconic that I gotta talk to Taluga first because that's kind of his prisoner. So
right.
Give me a minute.
Let him know the Dragonborn would owe you a favor for letting us handle this slight.
Taluga? Sidebar?
Sidebar! We got to do it in common, though.
Yeah.
So I can listen in?
Yeah. So the Dragonborn, you know, that Dragonborn that was with the stupid church, they kind of need him because he hurt a lot of them. They need to even the score there. I know that it's your prisoner, but they will owe you a favor.
Use my trophy, though. And I look at the horn that I...
You can keep the horn.
Really?
Yeah, you can keep the horn. The horn's fine. If you want the other one, you can take that, too. But they need him, and they'll owe you a favor.
Okay. Okay, give one second. How far is Yarno?
You can see he's on... there's, like, a boat, a larger boat that, like, seems to have most of, like, this little crowd of Kuatoa. But he's in the back with a couple of the Dragonborn and some more of these little kobolds. They're about, I'd say, 20 feet from you.
Okay. I look at them. Do the horns grow back?
You see, shaking his head, Yarno is like, no.
Excellent. I break the second one up. I'm like, he's yours!
Wait.
Oh, hold on. Son wants something. Yes?
I might be an idiot here, but wouldn't this guy who's been part of the church way longer than that guy have better and more information? Not that we can't give the Dragonborn their pound of flesh. I just want to wring him out a little first.
Can we get like an hour?
Just like an hour. You can have him. Do whatever the hell you want to him. Just let us put the screws to him a little bit.
Yeah, Yarno and the Dragonborn kind of come forward now a little bit. and you see that Dragonborn Smith kind of makes eye contact with you, Glebnor. He's like,
you were fair before. I believe you'll be fair now. Have your hour.
You got it, bud.
Love you, Jenry.
I cannot abide.
You'll have him. He's yours. We just need to squeeze something out of him first.
Yeah. And you guys can make an inside check on Jenry real quick.
15.
0.
16.
I would say, because I'm actually going to go... Theo, you can see that this man is like in pain from loss and just wants a little bit of vengeance here. These Stormcrawlers brought down the whole city, including the leg where this guy worked. And you know that sometimes there is conflict between the different Dragonborn races. Blue and red, big time enemies. And you would know just from growing up in an area with a lot of Dragonborn there, you would know there, that's where there is a pretty clear line. But what you would clock probably to Luga is he's probably the most upset because he lost his dragonsmith. That dragon flew away, which we, on our talkback episode.
Didn't it roast a couple of those
it
rams,
did.
Though?
It roasted some of those ram wyverns, but unfortunately, it is missing now. So you could probably tell to look at this, but he might be the most upset about that.
I walk up to him. I give him a hug.
I didn't know.
He was a fire dragon.
He was beautiful.
We make great blades and steel together.
I hold out the hammer.
Beautiful work. Thank you. Good. Glad you could use it to defend our city.
She shall bonk again.
You see Reggie's in the corner. He's like, man, this is getting weird. So intense. Didn't know it'd be kind of like a group. It's getting awkward. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm not used to these kind of situations.
Right, anyways, back to our hour. Sorry.
Yeah, you guys have an hour. What would you like to do with this dragonborn if you have anything else trying to get out of him?
So one thing I want to talk to the human... like, I'm letting Taluga and Glebnor handle the Dragonborn guy. I'm gonna go sit next to the human guy and just basically, if his hands are tied, untie them and give him basically my little notebook that I have and, like, a pen or, like, pen, like, whatever you use to write with in this time.
It's a pen.
And basically have him draw out ways into the like the holy city type of thing.
Okay,
like
yeah.
any entrances that aren't noticeable or readily known to be accessible, like little passageways in or anything that he might know, just because I think he'll give me at least as much information as he can rather than the Dragonborn who probably won't. It will either lie or anything.
Gotcha.
Like that.
Yeah, I'll say yeah, this it's like he's like a young human man. He's probably like maybe a couple years younger than you. He's got this like kind of like little tuft of blonde hair. He kind of rubs his wrists as you kind of undo his bindings. Again, he's got like just this tabard of the Stormlord on. You can tell this tabard was probably brand new, and it is now covered in blood.
Those creases in it.
Day. Yeah, he's like, hey, I can give you like a pretty basic map of Aeona just and kind of show you where the city is, but I am nowhere near the level where I was ever in the great city, but I can show you how we came. And he kind of sketches really quick a little thing of the grove, and he shows you the mountain pass that you guys would have seen at Breckenridge Post that you didn't like go up toward. We came through the Brendini Highlands. We had allies amongst the hill dwarves there. They stabled us for a day, and we made our way over the mountain. It was
the hill dwarves. Is there a town there, or is it just like a little outpost?
It was kind of like a village, Brendini village. And then at this point, you guys actually see that Yarno's eyes kind of pop up at that the mention of that town. And he kind of comes over and tugs at you. He's like, "Hey," and he starts speaking in Draconic. Brendini, that's where my scouts have been there before, but that is where I sent Dozer. A couple days after you left, I sent him that way to see if we find more allies. He must have made it through up the mountain pass. Hey, kid! And he takes a dagger out and just pokes the kid with it. You see a big hippo man in that village? Or on the path, a mountain path? No, sorry, little guy. No, I did not. We saw, I would know if I saw a hippo guy. I would know. I've never seen a hippo man. I did not see anyone matching that description.
Can I do an insight check?
Yeah, definitely. Need persuasion or deception here.
It's a 15.
Okay. Believe this kid. He's too afraid, it seems like, to lie to you right now. And at this point also, at this mention of the Brandini Hill dwarves, a couple of, like, dwarven citizens from Tidagol, one of them being, like, was one of these wardens, pushes forward and is just like,
liar! You're lying! A dwarf will never help your kind, not like this! There is there was a church to Krizik at the Brandini Islands. I'm just telling you what I saw, okay? We have dwarves in our ranks. It's not like all you dwarves are a monolith, right? I don't like this. I can't imagine a hill dwarf siding with you, not for a slaughter like this. But we saw back that it was terrible. You may have protected some of us against those machines, but what you did to the Kuatoa ones, right? You destroyed our village!
And you see that some of the wardens are kind of getting upset. And I'll say, because you guys have been kind of like openly sort of torturing this guy, the crowd's getting a little bloodthirsty, kind of picking up on the energy.
Yeah.
Yarno says to this guy,
sorry, buddy, what's your name?
I'm Greg. Greg. Okay. I knew a Greg. He was a great guy. Mine's with two G's.
Oh, Greg, doesn't both Gregs have two G's? One at the beginning, one at the end?
I guess three G's. Okay. So,
listen, if we're going to the Ebon Den, there'll be dwarves there.
Not my kind of dwarf. Sorry, Kobold. We don't associate with the Firebelly. They'll be no help to you. I'm happy you're bringing us to safety, but the Firebelly are reclusive.
Go ahead, Toluga. Give me like a history check, since you just read about dwarven history last night.
14?
14. You were kind of like nodding off near the end of your dwarvish lessons, but you did pick up bits and pieces that at one point, one of the chapter headings was the Dwarvish Wars. So you know the hill, mountain, and fire belly dwarves, gray dwarves, don't always see eye to eye. And this distrust from this guy is kind of to be expected from a hill dwarf.
Listen, the Ebon Den's our best shot. They got the most powerful military in the Underdark. If we could get them on our side, we would have a real shot at getting our fucking vengeance.
You see, Yarno's getting, like, really worked up.
I don't know about you guys. They took my home. Lived there my whole life, me and my scouts. We built that city. And they took it all away. Me and the Dragonborn here, we want vengeance.
You see the little old druid is like,
vengeance can sometimes be kind of a double-edged sword. It can fill your heart with hate. But something has to be done. If we are going to go to the Ebon Den, I would like to speak to their leader. And hopefully, if after a couple glasses of water, we can have a nice long talk. Potentially gain some allies.
I like that idea. You see Mean Gene kind of pushes forward. I know the dwarves didn't look particularly kindly on the Kuatoa. We weren't really seen as equals with them, but they've always allowed that village to survive. And Sloopledrip has been protected by them in the past from our enemies in the water. It's our best shot. I think it's time that this Kuatoa exodus finds its way to safety and security, when we figure out our next steps. But I'm actually going to defer to you, my son.
And he shakes your hand, Toluga.
Oh my goodness. Well, if there's something the outside world has taught me, it's that I am accepting of many different kinds of people. So why not? Let's head over there, gang!
Let's get just like a survival check. These kind of all the little keel boats kind of get in formation.
9.
Okay.
19.
15.
Okay. Somebody roll a d20 for me.
8.
Oh. An 8 is actually great. Again, the Kuatoa have been sailing the Nocturne Lake for centuries. You smoothly make it through the rest of the day sailing these waters. And I'll say that one thing that is strange as you coast through the water here, you look up, and at certain parts, the caverns of the Underdark, you can't even see the top of them. But this place is pitch black. It is only by the bioluminescent light of the Kuotoa and Mean Gene's dangling little bulb that you're able to kind of see through it. Theo, you can't see shit down here. And you can see other humans are like bumping into people on the boats because their dark vision is not happening. But yeah, I will say there is this interesting part as you guys are sailing through on this kind of clear day. Maybe because of the size of this fleet, maybe because of the threat you kind of pose as a big group like this, you encounter no creatures in the water. But you do hit certain parts of the water that are so clear. You can see the reflection of the cavern wall in the water itself. And as you look up, there's just these glittering stalactites of this strange hard rock. There are these like crystal patterns all over the ceiling that kind of lights up the water as you go. And next time on Dicey Situations, we will get back to exploring the Nocturne Lake and making our way to Sloople Drip. Thank you all for joining us. I will catch you next time. Keep it dicey!
Howdy, Glebnor here, and I just want to say thanks for listening to Dicey Situations. If you liked what you heard, make sure you come back on Friday to listen to our talkback called Situational Awareness, where we break down the episode, and you get to know us, the players, a little bit better. And oh, as always, make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and word of mouth actually helps a lot. So if you could tell all your friends, that would be great. Thanks again. Keep it dicey!
This has been a Business Shark production.